We have here the conversion of St. Paul. It's a striking thing, isn't it, Paul's conversion? Jesus Christ himself appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. He confronts him, and he changes his life. As we think about evidences of the resurrection, I think about what we have recorded here. We have this dramatic change of a man who was full of anger, a man who was full of, verse 1, threats and murder, a man who was a religious fanatic. And he goes from that to being a gentle man, to being a nonviolent man, to being a reasonable man. And it all happens over a 3-day period. I'm struck at the dramatic way that Christ went about converting Saul of Tarsus. It took Jesus appearing to him in his resurrected body for Saul to be converted. Think of it. He fell to the ground, verse 4, Acts 9, 4. Heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting." I want you to think with me for a moment about how it is that people came to change the whole face of the ancient world. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 2, for a moment, the very end of that chapter. Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, page 1255. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." I want you to think about that for a moment. We go from a tiny group of believers, the initial 12, the 120 that are in the upper room, to 3,000 people in one day. We turn over to chapter 4, and we read these words, chapter 4, verse 4. Page 1256. "However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. And then we turn over to chapter 6, and we read in verse 7, "Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith." How did people come to believe in Jesus? How did it happen that people went from one way of thinking and one way of believing into another way of thinking and believing? I submit to you, if you'll turn with me for a moment to 1 Peter chapter 1, that it is because those people experienced in a personal and dynamic way the resurrection of Jesus. Page 1390, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I want you to see here the connection between Christ's resurrection and the new birth. Christ's resurrection and the new birth. He's begotten us again, he says, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What I submit to you is this, that on the day of Pentecost, even though the vast majority of those people had never seen Jesus rise from the dead, each of those people experienced the same power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the thing. And what I want to say to you today is this, that it isn't that we look back and try to reason through historical facts and conclude that Jesus rose from the dead. The gospel proclamation is not a logical discourse where we reason and come to a pretty strong conclusion that Jesus rose from the dead. What is the gospel proclamation? Well, if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you'll see what the gospel proclamation is. The gospel proclamation is that God himself speaks through the word as it's spoken. Listen to what St. Paul says there on page 1311. He says in verse 17, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." Let that sink in. The gospel is not a logical presentation of truth. It isn't even a logical argument that Jesus had to rise from the dead. The preaching of the good news is that the Holy Spirit accompanies that message with power that sets people free. Listen to how he words it here. He says, "For the message of the cross," verse 18, "is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it's written, 'I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent.' Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness," and they have added a little bit to the Greek, "it's through the foolishness of preaching, including the message and the method, through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe." Notice what he says, "For Jews request a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews a stumbling block, the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." What's he saying? He's saying that people will never come to faith in Christ apart from the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit coming on them through the proclamation. That's how people come to believe. They don't come to believe because some intelligent man, an apologist, has set up a series of arguments persuasively convincing them of the truth of the Bible, persuasively convincing them that God exists, persuasively convincing them that Jesus really lived, that he died and rose again. People come to have faith in Christ simply because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available and works in the proclamation so that suddenly things make sense. In other words, faith is not the end result of a logical conclusion. Faith is not based on reason. It isn't that we sit here and lay out all of these rational, reasonable arguments. We simply proclaim the good news. And in that proclamation, the Holy Spirit works, and he draws people to Christ. It's people who were dead in trespasses and in sins suddenly come to have the light turned on, suddenly come to embrace Christ as he's offered. Listen to how he says it again. Verse 24, "But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." And then he says, as he says in verse 25, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised, God has chosen, and things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And that as it is written, 'He who glories, let him glory in the Lord.'" Now listen to how Paul describes it himself. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." Notice how he describes it again. "When I came to you, I did not come, he said, with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." How do people come to believe in God? How do people come to have faith that Scripture is God's Word? How do people come to believe that Jesus died and rose again? It isn't because we present the proof and the evidence. I think there's overwhelming evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. As I think about that, I look back to the first century. You know, the disciples were tortured repeatedly. They were tortured and told not to talk about this anymore, but they were never tortured to tell them where the body of Christ was. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? They were never tortured to tell where the body of Christ was, because the people in Jerusalem knew that Jesus rose from the dead. Is he okay? The people who were in Jerusalem knew that Jesus rose from the dead. That was not the issue. The issue was, who raised Jesus? Who raised Jesus? Who raised Jesus was the Holy Spirit. And so what's interesting is that when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, came with power on the day of Pentecost, that's when the masses of people began to believe. They began to believe, not based simply on the evidence that Jesus died and rose again. They came to believe when they personally experienced that resurrection power by the Holy Spirit coming into them and changing them. And that's how Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in chapter 2. He said, I was not with you as a great orator. He says in 1 Corinthians 2, 3, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling. And he says, in my speech and my preaching were not in persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Here is the bottom line. Christianity is a supernatural religion. And if it is not that, you cannot account for the massive change in the population of the Roman Empire over the next 300 years. How was it that tens of thousands of Jewish people, in the wake of Pentecost, and in the weeks and months and years that follow, tens of thousands of people come to believe in Jesus Christ? Why? Why do they come to believe in Jesus Christ? They come to believe in Jesus Christ because they themselves personally experience the resurrection. So the question is, have you personally experienced the resurrection? Again, it's not about a logical conclusion. It's not about, okay, here's the evidence. Okay, what document from ancient time is more attested than any other? And the answer is the Greek New Testament. It's not about all those evidences. It's about a personal encounter with the living God. That's what it's about. He says, my speech, verse 4, 1 Corinthians 2, 4, and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I look back at my own conversion, and I think of this. When I was in high school, I wasn't sure whether I was an atheist or what I was. Times I said I was an atheist. Other times I was scared to death there really was a God. But on September the 4th, 1964, I experienced the power of God. I was converted. And I can tell you that from that point on, I have never doubted the resurrection of Christ, because I personally experienced that resurrection power in my own life. I came to be a believer. How did I come to be a believer? It wasn't that someone sat there and proved for me the existence of God. It wasn't that someone sat there and proved to me that the Bible was true. It's just that in the words that people shared with me, I knew in my heart of hearts that what they were telling me was true. And I believed. You see, what I'm saying is that you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to have a background in philosophy. You don't have to have a lot of knowledge. But when you pray and then speak under the power of the Holy Spirit, God will draw people to Christ. That's the great truth. You can share your faith in Jesus Christ with anybody, and if God's Spirit is working, God will draw that person to Christ. And when God converts that person, they will know the reality of Christ's resurrection personally, because they will experience that same resurrection power in their own hearts. So I want you to think with me this Resurrection Sunday, as we remember the resurrection of Christ from the dead, that here, almost 2,000 years later, we have undeniable proof that Jesus rose from the dead. And that undeniable proof is found in the conversion of the Apostle Paul, is found in my own conversion, and is found in the conversion of dozens, maybe hundreds of people that you know have come across. God's power is still here today. God exists, and He manifests His power by converting people to Christ and giving them to know Jesus. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you experienced the power of His resurrection by putting your trust in Him? That's what this is all about. It's to know the Lord in a personal way. So again, do I believe in the resurrection of Christ because I've heard good arguments about it? Well, those arguments certainly are helpful, but the final analysis, I know that He is living because He lives within my heart. I've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit myself in changing me. And I commend that to you. Let's pray. Lord, I pray as we reflect on the resurrection of Jesus and how that resurrection came to be experienced by tens of thousands of people in the first years of Christianity in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, and how the same proof of the power of God, of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, by the Holy Spirit drawing people to yourself, is here available now as proof. I pray, Lord, for all of us that there wouldn't be a person here today that does not know the reality of Christ's resurrection because of that work of grace in calling us to yourself through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.